Our scripture reading is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting with verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as indeed the rest of mankind do, who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, so also God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Join me for prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather in your house to magnify you, to worship you, because you are worthy of all of our worship. You are worthy of our time, our very being. I love what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians, that when Christ, who is our life, appears, then we will appear with him in glory. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, mind has not conceived what you, Lord Jesus, have prepared for those who love you. As we come to you in thankfulness and praise, we also lift up the ministries of this church. We also, Father, want to lift up before you the nation of Israel as they struggle to stop Hamas and their terrorist attacks on them. And the pressure is being brought to bear by nations around the world. How it grieves my heart, Lord, to watch in this country hundreds, if not thousands, protesting on behalf of terrorists. But Lord, these are the times that we live. But we have you, and you remind us that regardless of what the world does, you stay focused on me and do things my way. Lord, I also lift up before you those who need a touch. I think of Kathy, Pat Lucius's friend. I think of Anna Hill, Lord, who struggles just to have strength in her legs. Lord, short of you doing something for her, this situation just does not seem to be improving, where she physically has the strength to move from place to place. I pray for a touch for our sister, for Lindley and the deterioration of bones in her spine, for Sarah Kieran and the ongoing health issues that she has. Lord, as Sandy looks to have surgery in February, Father, I just pray for your peace to go before her. Father, how you've been leading and guiding the doctors, and everything is looking great from the surgeon's point of view. There's no reason not to reverse this procedure. So, Lord, I continue to pray that you will just put wind in her sails as she continues to move, Father, into this new year. Lord, I'm looking forward to having her back wholly connected, Lord, and just serving you with all that's within her. For Carol Burks and Jeannie Taylor, who need a touch from you, from little Hazel Brown, just a three-year-old with an inoperable brain tumor, but doctors are doing treatments that they think might help to at least hold it at bay or maybe even to shrink it. Lord, what doctors are doing, Father, I thank you for that ability, but I realize that you are the God that heals. And that, Lord, at your spoken word, you could totally reverse this situation for little Hazel. Father, for Kayla, as she's with child, I pray, Lord, that you will continue to watch over her health. And, Lord, also for the unborn child. Lord, I know this couple has dealt with miscarriages in the past. And so, Lord, I'm just praying for a healthy child to continue to form within Kayla's womb. And that, Lord, you will bring this baby through for a healthy delivery. For Rick Geyer, Lord, who had that tumor removed, and Father, he still struggles, but he's trusting you. I pray you'll continue to strengthen him day by day. For Carol Pence, Lord, who is battling leukemia, that you will continue to be her portion. For Bob Shaw, as he is, Lord, dealing with back issues, he's had surgery twice, and Lord, now therapy, they're trying to see if they can help him with that. For Brenda Coomer's second cousin, Lord, for Collins, who's only a freshman in high school, but father facing a brain tumor with a very large cyst. Father, this week he's going to have surgery, and two very fine surgeons are going to attempt, Lord, to alleviate this situation. I pray for Collins. I pray for the family. And Lord, I pray for the medical team, that you will guide them as they attempt to do what they have been trained to do. But Lord, there again, they can do much, but you're the God that heals. And so, Lord, I pray for that. For Faith, Lord, as she's going to be coming off of some medication in the month of January, Lord, I pray that you will help that transition to be a smooth one. Be with Faith Holman. Be with her family, Lord, as she makes this transition. For Nancy, Lord, who's going to be having cataract surgery this Thursday, I pray for your peace over her. And, Lord, that you'll guide the hand of the doctor as they perform this procedure. I know, Lord, it's done many times, but, Lord, it's still surgery. And I still pray for your peace on Nancy and that you will guide the doctor as well. And now, Lord, we gather to put you first in our worship service. Be honored by our praise, as, Lord, now we're going to sing songs of praise to you. Be with Nancy, be with Sandy, as they lead us in this time of worship. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Anticipation. It's the action of anticipating something, expecting, or prediction. And that's the title of my message today. Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for this time to speak on your behalf. Lord, I pray I'll do exactly that. Lord, I don't ever want to be guilty of going off the rails, Lord, and doing something that will displease you, saying something that will not be honoring to you. I believe your book from cover to cover, from Genesis 1:1 to the last words in Revelation. It is your word. And I bow my intellect before your word. I take it for what it says, unless you indicate that it is a symbol or it is a parable, Lord, an analogy. I read it literally. I understand it literally. And I pray, Lord, that as we look into your word, that you will help all of us to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God has to say to each of us. I ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's kids said, well, we made it. Today is the last day of 2023. It's the last day of the year, but it's the first day of a new week. It's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. It's the day when God said, let there be light. And there was light, Genesis 1:3. It's the day that Jesus walked out of his tomb. As we head into a new year, what comes to mind? Feelings of uncertainty, perhaps some fear, some anxiety. How about dread? Thoughts of a fall presidential election and who's going to be in control of the Congress? You know, polls conducted by the University of Virginia Center for Politics show that we are a nation at war with itself. 52% of Biden supporters say that Republicans are a threat to the American way of life. 52%? 47% of Trump supporters say the same thing about them. Among Biden supporters, 41% believe violence is justified to stop Republicans. Among Trump supporters, 38% agree. We have law professors in our country who are teaching that we need to radically alter the Constitution. We need to save America from constitutionalism. Wow, that's heavy stuff to this guy who loves America and is privileged and glad to be born here. Perhaps you're looking forward, though, to the year ahead. Maybe there's excitement about an upcoming graduation, or a wedding, or maybe even the birth of a child. What is going to happen prophetically in 2024? You know, the doctrine of the return of Jesus is imminent, meaning it could happen at any moment. I remember I used to sing at Beulah Beach, a Christian camp I worked at, and we would sing that coming again, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. Understand this. I know we don't have God's time clock on this, but every day that passes, every year that passes, puts us that much closer to the return of Jesus Christ. He promised that he was coming back, and he has never broken his word. So today, I want to encourage every born-again person in this room, or who could be listening later when this sermon is posted online, of the hope that we have in Jesus. Without a doubt, there are some amazing things that we have to look forward to. Jesus is coming for his own. In Titus, the Apostle Paul calls it the blessed hope. Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So in our scripture reading, Paul gives us details about the coming of Christ for his bride, the church. This coming in 1 Thessalonians 4 is a little bit different than what we read about in Revelation 19 when Christ comes back with his bride victorious. Jesus comes in Paul's writing that I read to you this morning earlier. He's coming with the dead in Christ. That is significant, and we will look at it this morning. Also, he talks about Michael. The archangel is coming with him, because Paul says his voice will be heard as he gives out a command to all the holy angels to join him and to join the Lord Jesus as Christ is coming to airlift his church out of harm's way. This is a glorious moment when Jesus will take his people before the wrath of God comes down upon this world. The wrath, of course, has been long overdue. Think about it. For 2,000 years, people have been hearing the good news found in Jesus Christ, that you don't have to die in your sin, that you have one who took the wrath of God on your behalf if you will but put your faith and trust in him. The focus of Jesus is about to shift from the church to the nation of Israel. If you look at in your bulletin, you'll see the sermon series that we're going to do in the month of January. And my son will conclude that series the last Sunday, talking about Israel, the chosen nation of God. But my sermon series, The Blessed Hope, today I want to focus on seven reasons why you and I can take be encouraged with the fact that Christ is coming back for his own. So if you have your bulletin, reason number one coming up. Why I can be excited, not knowing what's going to happen this year, but knowing that every day that gets closer means my Jesus is coming closer to taking us out of the way. Reason number one, why we have hope in Christ. We will see Jesus face to face. Imagine that. To be able to look upon Christ. Daniel Shiesta, when he was here with us, he caught a glimpse of Jesus in a dream. But to be able to look upon the face of God, this was the desire of Moses when he was on Mount Sinai getting the law from God, hearing the voice of God, but he wanted to see the one who was speaking. And so God honored his request partially. He said, I can't allow you in sinful body to look on me in all of my brilliance and glory, but I can let you have a glimpse of me, just a glimpse. And so that satisfied Moses, but to be able to look upon the face of Jesus in his glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 says this, "For now we see him in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." Small verse, but mighty in implication. It was always God's intention to dwell and live with his creation. We see this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, where we're told, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." You remember earlier in the year, I talked with you about those Christophanies, those Old Testament appearances where Jesus Christ would come to the earth. This happens to be the very first one where the Lord Jesus would manifest himself and walk in the Garden of Eden in fellowship with Adam and Eve. One day, ladies and gentlemen, our faith will become sight. We will actually see Jesus and not die. Our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, our friend. I love that song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Reason number two to be hopeful at the return of Christ. If you know him as your Savior, you have no reason to be scared. You have every reason to be hopeful, every reason to be anticipatory. We will get a new body. Wow. A new body. Think about that. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body." In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul said this, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." Do you know what he's saying there? That there are going to be believers who are on the earth alive when the Lord comes. not everybody has to pass through the valley of the shadow of death to see Jesus one day. That moment will happen when he comes with the dead in Christ. But then those who are on the earth that are alive, we will also be changed. Let me go on with the verse. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's how fast this is going to happen. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. I love it when David Jeremiah preaches on the topic, because his one sermon that I heard him mention where he talked about this very thing, he called it Bodies by Jesus. Think about it. Christ is going to put us back together, not in the form that we might leave this world or in the form he finds us when he comes, but he's going to make us in perfection. As he did with Adam and Eve, he will do with us as well. In my years of teaching science, one of the things that I tried to convey when we talk about the universe being a closed system, there were a couple concepts that I tried to help students understand. One is, in a closed system, the energy that exists within the universe is the energy that exists within the universe. You cannot create energy. You cannot destroy energy. It morphs. It transforms itself, you know, from light to heat to whatever. But it still exists within the confines of the universe. Another one is the conservation of matter. There's only so much matter in the universe. It is the building blocks of all things. And so atoms cannot be created or destroyed. So when I talk to them about having a campfire, you'll notice when you're burning the wood, what happens to the wood? They say, well, it turns to ashes. It's true. So the atoms that make up the wood, some of them become ashes, some of them actually go up in smoke. But they still exist within the confines of the universe. Now think about people who have died, who have decomposed, or maybe they were consumed. When I think about believers who died on 9/11 in the Trade Towers, and they found no remains to be able to even have a funeral. Do those people suddenly cease to be? Not according to our Creator. Their atoms, their molecular structure, still exists within the universe. So when Jesus calls back his people and gives them new eternal bodies, he will be able to molecularly pull those atoms together and reform that individual into a perfect body, like he walked out of the tomb with. We are going to be conformed into his image. It will be a body made by the Lord. Reason number three, we will get a new nature. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed," speaking of Jesus, "we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." There again, being able to look face to face into the eyes of Jesus and not die, to see him in all of his holy glory and still be able to live. Colossians 3, 4, "When Christ, who is our life, appears," there it is again, "when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." When it says that we will appear with Christ in glory, it's speaking of the nature and the character of God. It's not saying that we will be God when we receive those perfect eternal bodies. This is the glory that was lost, Adam and Eve, because of sin. Romans 3:23. "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This is the glory of Christ in us that he gives. Colossians 1:27. "We shall be like Jesus and display the very nature of God without the downward drag of our sinful nature. Our sinful nature will be gone. Praise his name." Reason number four, we will be reunited with those who have gone before us. Think about all of those you know who have already gone to be with the Lord. Just went to a funeral this past Friday for a brother in Christ who in his battle with cancer, was able to get a certificate and ring the bell, but guess what? Within a few years, it come back and hit him hard. But the good news is he loved the Lord. And even though he's not battling down here anymore, think about it. He's in the presence of Christ. Friends, family members who've passed on and gone into glory. Babies that were conceived but never had the opportunity to live their lives. They're with him, safe and sound. We will one day see them perfectly in glorified bodies. Notice what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, and I'm shooting for the upper taker, but I do have life insurance if I have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death, because I don't know when the Lord's coming, but I live in hope and in anticipation. Then we who are alive and remain will be, there's that word, caught up, which is the Latin word where we get the word rapture. We'll be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. What a glorious reunion that will be when Jesus comes back to airlift his people out of harm's way and to give us forever bodies, resurrection bodies. Reason number 5, we will get a new home, a real home. You know, in The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy desperately tried to get back home. At the end of the film, she clicked her heels and she said, "There's no place like home." Sadly, for many, home on this planet is nothing to be desired. I know a couple individuals, one male, one female. They work with the local Youth for Christ, and they're regulars at the Juvenile Justice System, a center in Fremont. They go in and do Bible studies. It broke my heart when the one gentleman was telling me of a teenage boy who purposely got arrested or rearrested so that he could go back to the JJC. When asked why, his response was, "Because in the juvenile detention center, I've got a bed, I've got 3 meals a day, and I've got a roof over my head," because of the home life that he lived in. You see, home on this planet wasn't for him. Just a young teenage boy, 16, 17 years old, it was overrated because of the dysfunctional family that he existed within, that he saw being confined as a way to meet basic need. Jesus promised in John chapter 14, "I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be." What did Paul write in 1 Thessalonians 4:17? "Thus we shall always be with the Lord." You see, when we go to be with Jesus, we get not only a home, but it's not a home where we have to wonder, how long can I stay here? Will somebody come and try to take it from me? It will be a forever home. We will finally be at home when we are with the Lord Jesus. That's reason number 5, to rejoice. Now, reason number 6. We will know even as we are known. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 13:12? "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." I shall know just as I am known? What's that mean? There are going to be no strangers in heaven. In your resurrection body, you will be known. In other words, you're going to be recognizable. Imagine being in perfect form around the age of 30, with no genetic defects, no disease, no deformities. Wow! Why do I say around the age of 30? Well, the Bible says that we are going to be like the Lord Jesus in his resurrection body. May I remind you, He started his earthly ministry at the age of 30. He ministered for 3 years, and then they crucified him. He came out of the tomb whole and complete in forever resurrection form. So that's why when I think about what a resurrection body will look like, it's going to be around the age of 30. I remember some dear Christian friends, they had a Bible study in their home, and of course, they lived, well, Pat's still with us, but her husband into his early 80s. But I remember looking at the refrigerator, and I saw a picture of a young man with a whole head of hair, with a little boy, and he was sacked out in his recliner, and the baby was sacked out on laying on his chest in the recliner. And I said to Pat, I go, who's this picture of? And she goes, that's Denny, when had one of the boys there when he was a young man. And I thought, oh my goodness, because I've only known Brother Denny with no hair and old, okay? So to see him as this vibrant young man with this little boy laying on his lap. You see, that's what we're talking about in resurrection form. We're not talking about God raising us in our diseases, raising us in our sicknesses. Those things are gone, never to be a part of us anymore. That's reason to give God glory. All right, so I remind you that after 40 days, when Jesus was with his disciples, remember, they recognized him. So this is not a witness protection program. When Jesus puts your atoms back together again, it's going to be whole and perfect, and you will look good. You will look sensational. Why? Because the Creator who made everything perfect is remaking things into that perfection again. Our resurrection bodies will be like the Lord's, and it means that there's not going to be any strangers in God's family. Perfect minds, no sin, no dementia, no forgetfulness. We will instinctively know each other. Wow, that's something to be excited about. Finally, number 7. You and I, who love the Lord, we will experience joy, peace, love, and security for the very, very first time. Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 17, verse 15, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your presence. On the website, JesusPlusNothing.com, it said this, it will be the start of an amazing future with the most creative and incredible being in the universe, the Lord Jesus. The one who made all things and upholds all things is going to make all things new. That's the real prize of heaven. It's not the mansions, it's not the rooms or the streets of gold. It's the person of Jesus Christ. Wherever Jesus is, that's heaven. This future is open to all who call upon the name of the Lord in believing faith. I know many of you, and I know your testimonies, and I praise God for that. But if there be any in this room who've never put your trust in Jesus, what are you waiting for? An invitation? Romans 10:13, but whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's your invite from God Himself. Praise His most glorious name.
Thank you.
I don't know what your New Year's resolutions are going to be, if you even participate in it or not. I've been there, done that. It's a little overrated because come February, yeah, whatever you called out in the last day of the year, I don't know. But I hope one resolution that you will keep, and that is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. And I don't know what tomorrow holds. Even when I pray for the sick, I mean, I'm selfish. I pray for a physical healing on this side of glory. And yet I also understand that God does that, but also sometimes he's with us in those valleys. I told you, I've prayed that the situation within my heart would be gone and I wouldn't have to see a cardiologist. And yet, here I am, once a year, making my annual visit to see a cardiologist. Was God not faithful? Not at all. He's been faithful. He's been good to me. The fact that I'm here in front of you being able to preach and pray and give God glory. In our weakness, he can be strong. And so, as I said, I don't know what the year is going to hold, but I know him who holds time in his hands. And you are in the very, very best hands when you put your trust in him. So that, I hope, is your New Year's resolution, to stay faithful to the one who called you. And now would you bow for this final blessing from today's service. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen and amen.